Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott. When you watch the Patriots and the Seahawks compete in the Super Bowl, you should say a big thank you to science. Yes, science. Today's star athletes get a lot of their skills, endurance, and gear through refined techniques developed by scientists. And joining us now to talk more is Mark McCluskey. He's the editor of Wired.com, and his new book is Faster, Higher, Stronger: How Sports Science is Creating a New Generation of Super Athletes and What We Can Learn from Them. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with an NFL workout. What's the role of science in optimizing an NFL player's workout?
In terms of a strength training workout, for instance, we all respond very differently to strength training. There's actually a genetic component to, you know, if you and I did the same weightlifting program, we'd have different results. And that's true even at the elite level. So one player might respond better to heavier weights and fewer repetitions. One might respond better to lighter weights and more repetitions.
You visited labs that try to improve these processes. What does it take to understand what will work for an individual athlete? How do we know this guy or this woman will respond to X approach?
The sort of holy grail, of course, is this idea that I can do a genetic test on you or do some other set of tests on you and suddenly know what might be more or less effective for you. We're not anywhere near that point. We see hints of genes that might be involved in that, of traits that we know are genetically influenced that must be involved in it, but it's really hard to tease those out in a easy test. So it's still much more, you know, you try something, you capture the results, and if they're not working or if you're not progressing, you try something else. It's kind of like a little science experiment with one subject, and that's each individual athlete.
But I guess scientists have gotten much more refined in measuring, for example, the impact of an athlete's foot or how they are lifting something or which muscles are engaged in a certain process.
Exactly. It's you can quantify what an athlete does at a much more granular level than before. The boom we've had in sensor technology, whether it be something as simple as wearing a Jawbone Up or a Nike Fuel Band to capture motion, or something as complex as really high-end video analytics where I'm filming an athlete performing an action and then really breaking down what angle is their femur at a certain point in their stride. We can get so much more information about what an athlete is doing in that performative moment that it opens up many more vectors to improve it. You know, what you can see with the naked eye only takes you a very short way down the road that we're able to travel now through the technology we have.
You give an example in your book about Usain Bolt and the kind of the importance of the force with which a runner's foot hits the ground. Talk a bit about that.
Sure. People always used to think that tall men couldn't be sprinters because the thought was that they couldn't turn over their legs fast enough, that the strides wouldn't come quickly enough. It turns out that that isn't how you run faster. You run faster by applying more force while your foot is on the ground. And so somebody like Usain Bolt, when he hits the ground, is hitting the ground with close to 1,000 pounds worth of force. And he certainly couldn't do a 1,000-pound single leg squat.
Right.
In the weight room, but somehow he's able to generate that force on the track. You know, he could probably do a 500-pound single leg squat in the weight room. Incidentally, he's massively strong in the legs. That's the only way you can develop that force. But it appears that the biomechanics of how we apply that force during running are different than how we apply it during weightlifting.
What about gear? A lot of research goes into optimizing gear, and then gear becomes really expensive. How important is that, and what can we achieve through science there?
It's incredibly important, especially in some sports in particular. A lot of listeners might remember in the past 5 or 6 years, swimsuits became this very high-tech thing with all these polymers, and they were basically flotation devices for the swimmers.
Right.
They would trap a layer of air, and you would float. You would be more buoyant. Every swimming world record was annihilated by swimmers wearing these suits. And then they were banned. And what's interesting there is the conversation, and to me it's about sort of the equipment distorting what we think the sport measures. You know, we're very comfortable with sports like Formula One, which are, to some large extent, an engineering and scientific competition, right? Who can come up with a technical innovation that defeats the competition? Drivers are incredible athletes and hugely important, but the engineers are perhaps more important. In swimming with the suits, it seemed like suddenly the swimmer was less important and the suit was more important. And that those are those moments where we get uncomfortable when the equipment starts to distort what we think the sport is measuring.
I'm wondering, where does this end? It seems to me that at some point, as humans, we simply won't be able to be faster, stronger, jump higher. Is there an end point in this quest?
Well, so, you know, logically, one assumes that there is. We haven't found it yet. What we found is that our improvement seems to be slowing. And I think that that's because we've figured out a lot of the quote-unquote easy stuff, not that any of this is terribly easy.
Yeah.
And so what you're looking for now is a tenth of a percent here, a tenth of a percent there.
But in the end, it seems like there are some human factors we won't be able to control, like having a bad day or a momentary, whatever, brain fart, where things just don't go your way.
Well, and that's why we play the games, right? You know, if it was so predictable, we'd, you know, before a bike race, you'd submit your training diary and and here's my VO2 max, here's how much oxygen I can process, and like we'd declare a winner. We wouldn't have to ride the Tour de France. the sort of reducto absurdium of it is that, yeah, you could just like have a spreadsheet and call it a day. That's why we watch. That's the, you know, when you talk about the romance, to me, that's the romance. It's the unpredictability. It's the an athlete doing something that he or she didn't even know they could do on a particular day. It's that flash of insight. It's Klay Thompson two nights ago. I'm a Warriors fan, like scoring 37 points in a quarter. He couldn't miss. He took 13 shots in the quarter and made all of them, set a new NBA record. Those are the moments that, and those moments, I think, exist in every game. If you're watching really, really closely, in any game, you'll see something in that you never saw before.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Mark McCluskey is the editor of Wired.com, and his new book is Faster, Higher, Stronger: How Sports Science is Creating a New Generation of Super Athletes and What We Can Learn from Them. Harder, better, faster, stronger.